Okay, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service. But that does not mean that he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. Omagyanati mirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shi guruve namaha. So here Srila Prabhupada is, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishma Dev, explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj. I was thinking, what a thing to go through a whole war, losing all of your family members practically, and then coming to the battlefield to see your grandfather on a bed of arrows and seeing the whole massacre. And it's described how at that time all the women were there lamenting for their husbands. And their. So here he is. He's like the father of all of these persons there that are dead on the battlefield, that are lamenting the loss. And he's feeling it's his fault. You know, I wanted this kingdom. So he was in great depression at this point. And here he comes to see his grandfather for the last time and get some advice for how he should run. He didn't even want to take up this position. But Krishna was saying, no, this is your duty now to take up the position of king and emperor. So here he is. Bhishma Dev is giving him instructions from this place. I mean, you can imagine, he's on a bed of arrows. He's not in a hospital bed being tended to. He's on a bed of arrows on the battlefield. And he's giving instructions to Yudhisthira. So he's telling him, you know, you've always thought that this Krishna is like your friend. You know, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna showed his universal form, at that time, Arjuna was struck with wonder. He couldn't believe. Here is this gigantic form, and he sees everyone entering the mouth of this universal form. He sees everything, all the demigods, everything. And he's shocked. So then when he asks, please show me your form, your two-armed form again, and Krishna goes back to that form, and he says, I have been so offensive to you, not realizing. And I have laid on the same bed as you. We have eaten from the same plate. Because they were friends. They were cousins and they were friends. So he said, I was so intimate with you. And now I realize you are the supreme personality of Godhead. So Arjuna already knew this. Everyone knew this. And yet here Bhishma Dev's telling him, you're forgetting, Yudhisthira. You're forgetting this Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's telling you to take up this duty. You know, you're just seeing him as an ordinary person. And it reminded me of Lord Brahma, because when Lord Brahma, after Agasura was killed, the boys all went to take their lunch on the bank of the river. And Lord Brahma was hovering over, and he sees these boys eating. Krishna has prasad in his left hand, his right. They're sharing off each other's plates. They're laughing and joking. And Lord Brahma is saying, this is the supreme personality of Godhead, really? You know, this little boy doing all these, he's not even eating properly. How could that be the supreme personality of Godhead? So he decided to test him. This is pride. And we all have this to a certain extent, this pride, you know, and it makes us think stupidly that we're the center, everything is revolving around us, we're thinking we're great, And we're not even realizing that we're thinking like that, which is the power of Maya. She covers us over. It's only when we're woken up by Krishna somehow or other that we see, oh my gosh, how could I be thinking like that? So similarly, Lord Brahma, he's thinking like this. And he decides to steal all the cows and cowherd boys. So all the cows, calves, he takes away. And the boys say, hey, wait a minute. The calves have run away. Here we are enjoying our lunch. What are we going to do? Krishna says, no, no, you keep eating. I'm going to go and find the calves. So in that way, he went off. And then Lord Brahma also takes all the cowherd boys. And he says, huh, now we'll see what this Krishna can do. I'm the most powerful here. I'm Lord Brahma. So Krishna realizes, he's taken all these cows away, these calves. He goes back, all the cowherd boys. So Krishna immediately expands himself into all these cows, all these cowherd boys. So in this way, when they went home, and Krishna, he doesn't do, like they say yogis can expand themselves, I think up to 12 times, is it? 9 times, something like that. But all of the forms have to do exactly the same thing. But Krishna, he was perfect in every way for every cowherd boy, every calf. I don't know how many calves you know, but they're all different. You know, the cows are all different. They have different personalities, likes, dislikes, behavior. And so also children, they all are different. And their parents relate to them differently. So Krishna expanded himself exactly. No one could tell. Even Lord Balaram was confused. What's going on here? Because he wasn't with them when they went to kill Agasura. He's going, what's going on here? So in this way, it went on for 1 year. But in Lord Brahma's time, it was quick. And he came back and he goes, wait a minute. They're exactly how they were when I left, but I know I've taken them. I know they're all locked away in a cave. So he became confused. Then he realized what a fool he'd been, thinking that this little boy was just a little boy and not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we know then he offered prayers. He returned all the cows and the cowherd boys. And, you know, and many pastimes went on in that pastime also, how the cows ran down to give milk to their calves, and the cowherd boy and men were so frustrated that they're running down. Because, of course, if you're a cowherd man, you want milk from your cows, so you're protecting them. If the calves get it all, then you're not going to have any milk left. So in this way, they were frustrated. But in the end, they saw their boys, and they just loved them. And it said that they increased their love because this was Krishna, not their boys. And this was their desire. That's another thing about Krishna, which is amazing, is that he can do one thing, but millions of things get accomplished by the one thing that he does. And actually in Nectar Devotion, it said that that's expert, someone who can do one thing, but do many things at the same time with that. So this taught Lord Brahma humility. And I think in our lives, it's the same. Without being humble and without getting the mercy of the Lord, we can't understand Krishna at all. There's no possibility. We just see him as a stone statue or a story or, you know, but we don't actually understand him. And in Bhagavad Gita, it explains how only through devotional service can one understand me as I am. So this is what our service is devotional service. And we know devotional service starts with what? Yeah, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting. That's our most important service, is that hearing and chanting. We have to give time every day for this hearing and chanting. This purifies the heart, and it makes us closer to Krishna. You know, because we can do so many things and we can be such big persons or thought of as big persons. But unless our heart becomes purified and we actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even a little, what are we doing? It's considered nothing. Like Lord Brahma, he thought he was so great. He's controlling the whole universe. And what do we control? We can't even control our tongues. You know, it's like, what do we control? And yet he could be covered over like that. What to speak of us? We're always covered. But one time someone said to Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I really get into Maya. He said, sometimes? You know, sometimes, really? We're always in Maya. We're always thinking that we are the center. And one time Giri Rajaswami was saying, we're thinking we're the main actor on the stage, and everyone else is the supporting actors, right? But someone else is also thinking they're the main actor on the stage, and that's where fights begin, right? Then everyone, hey, I'm the main actor. What are you doing? Butt out, you know? You're just the supporting actor, and like that. So, you know, we have to realize what our true position is. We're just tiny little individual jivas in this world. And there's billions of jivas in this world. More than that. I mean, if you consider all the animals and the plants and the insects, we're so minute. And Krishna loves every single one of his parts and parcels. It's not just us. But we're thinking the world is rotating around us. We're so special. You know, so that is what we have to remove. And that's through prayer and chanting. Chanting is so important. It starts cleansing the heart. You know, Lord Chaitanya, that was his first, the Sankirtan movement is a prime benediction for humanity at large. Most of those prayers are about chanting. You know, chanting, it's so important. Chanting and hearing. And we have a tendency, at least myself, I'm sure none of you do, but you know, we put the chanting on the back burner, and we've got this important thing to do, that important. Hare Krishna, 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 oh, I got to do this. Oh, I'm looking at the Facebook or the whatever, Ram, Ram, Ram on you. You know, and we're not giving the time that we owe our japa. That's our special time for Krishna. So if we can put aside those 2 hours or something just for Krishna. I'm not doing anything else at this point. I'm not thinking of anything else at this point. Sometimes, of course, we can't do that, but we should put that time and hear and chant. Just hear and chant. Forget everything else. It's not important. If we died right now, someone else would deal with that. You know, let me just chant my rounds. Because if I died right now, that would be the best position if I had chanted some good rounds that day. So this chanting is so important. And this devotional service, there's so many types of devotional service that we can do. So after chanting, we get a love develops for Krishna. Then we want to do some service for Krishna. Let me do something. And when we do that service, we should put our heart into that. That we want to do this the best. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, let me do this. If I'm cooking an offering, let me make this the nicest offering for Krishna. If I'm dressing the Lord, let me do this the best. If I'm making garlands, let me make these so beautiful for Krishna. You know, even if I'm going out on Sankirtan, let me bring more people to see the Lord. He looks so beautiful in our temple. You know, this philosophy, if we're preaching to others, you know, try to understand how we can give them the, not just interest, but the enthusiasm for taking up devotional service. So we need to see that we can do whatever we do, the best that we can do for Krishna. But keep this japa going on. Keep the chanting of the holy names going on. And then we can get to perfection. Srila Prabhupada told us, make this one life. Just give this one life to Krishna. And you think we've had billions of lives. We've gone through every form. And we finally come to this human form of life where we can actually take up devotional service. We've also heard from other devotees, from Srila Prabhupada. We've come and we're actually here to perform devotional service. So not to waste this opportunity. You know, it comes so rarely. you know, out of 8,400,000 of lives. Finally, we take up Krishna consciousness. We find out about it. Don't waste it. Just give this life to Krishna. And we'll never be sorry for that. And sometimes we may think, oh, you know, I've been practicing for a whole 4 months now, or a whole year, or maybe 20 years, or 30, and I'm not feeling. But then we should check ourselves. Are we giving our time? Are we actually concentrating on our japa? Are we actually developing some relationship with Krishna? You know, are we ignoring Krishna and it's still all about me? But one cool thing is that if you're trying and you're actually praying to Krishna for the ability, he gives you the understanding by which you can come to him. He promises Arjuna that, and all of us, that he'll give the understanding. So we just have to be sincere and just give our all, whatever we can do. And Krishna takes up the slack. And I know for me in my life, every time I start getting too proud, I'm always proud, but if it gets over the top, then Krishna comes and somehow he smashes that pride. And he's so expert. He knows exactly how to do it. One time, which is a little embarrassing, but we had just moved to Alachua in Florida, and it's a big community, and it was Radhastami. And I was praying to Radhesham, please, you know, my son isn't here. I don't know where he is. If he could just be here with the devotees. And seconds after that, I get a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and I say, are you Kirtan's mother? And I said, yes. He said, oh, the police have him out front in the parking lot. And I went, oh my gosh. So I went out and I thought, well, this is Radharani's answer to my prayer. He came to Radhastami, but how embarrassing, right? It was quite an embarrassing thing. But I could see that it was a false ego smasher. I didn't know the devotees there so much, and they're thinking, oh my God, here's this person, and their son's coming in a police car. You know, how embarrassing. But I realized that that's how Krishna could get me. It was something I couldn't avoid. So he put me in a position that I had to humble. I had to be humble and see, who am I? I'm nobody. And, you know, this is how Krishna is cleansing me of my false ego, you know, just a little bit. And it goes on and on. There's so many times Krishna has to keep just smashing. But that's mercy. You know, in the previous text, it's described how the Lord takes away all our material things that we're so proud of. He just takes them away, so that we can become humble, because the humble heart is a free heart. Then it can actually love Krishna. As long as we have the pride in there, it's like dirt, you know, it's just a dirty thing. And as long as we keep that there, then never can we understand Krishna. We can never see Krishna. But by cleansing that out, you know, then we actually can have an open heart. And Krishna is there to help us always. And he's always there to help us, give us realizations about things, you know. And he's there to show you at the beginning that I am here and I'm your true friend. You know, that's how Arjuna saw Krishna. He's my friend. He always looks after me. Srila Prabhupada told the story that he was once on a train with his father. And he said, I was standing there and the ticket collector came and he said, where's your ticket? To Srila Prabhupada. And he said, I felt very confident. I knew my father had my ticket. So I wasn't scared when the ticket collector said. He said, similarly, we should realize that Krishna is our dearmost friend. He is there to help us. And even in situations when we think, oh, this is so painful. Where is Krishna now? That is Krishna. That is Krishna. Prabhupada talked about him losing everything materially with his business. And, you know, and when he was telling the story, the devotees kind of laughed. He said, no, this was very painful. You know, it's not easy. But it's not that Prabhupada didn't see Krishna's hand there. He was cleansing him of whatever to point him in another direction. But he's showing us that's what he does to us. So sometimes things can get really rough and painful and the situation is really difficult. But it's Krishna helping us one way or other. And sometimes we can't see that at the beginning. But later, if we just accept this, okay, this is Krishna's mercy. It's either that it's some karmic thing that I'm having, but Krishna uses that karma to teach us, to purify us, to teach us a lesson, so that we can become Krishna conscious devotees. It's not easy. We're so covered. I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about how sometimes, I remember I'd been a devotee for a few years and going out on Sangirtan, and I remember getting this realization, I felt like I was dirtier now than what I was before, right? I felt like I had many more like envy and lust and this and that, and I thought, this isn't working. I'm even dirtier now. And so this devotee, I went and talked to someone, and they gave such a good analogy. They said, if you leave your room, like for months, and you're just like throwing things here and there, and you go in, go to bed, you go, you know, and things get dirty and dusty and things piled on all the shelves. And so one day you decide, okay, I'm going to start cleaning this room. So you immediately start taking everything off the shelves, putting things into the laundry basket, whatever. You know, and if someone comes in at that point, they're going to go, oh my God, this room looks awful. It looks far worse than it did when I came in a little while ago. But that's the cleansing process. And then slowly you're putting things away. You're taking out the dirty laundry. You're cleaning over. And if someone comes back after that process, it's beautiful. It's so clean. So it's the same thing with the cleansing of the heart. Sometimes things come up that it just looks so dirty and so awful. But the cleansing process you're doing by this chanting process, associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the literatures that Srila Prabhupada kindly gave us, and associating always with devotees. And that cleansing process is so powerful that that dirty room starts to become clean, and that's our heart. And then that's a place Krishna can then come and sit. Not that he's not always there, but he can actually speak with us and we can have a personal relationship. But first comes the cleansing. That has to be there. So sometimes when things get rough, we can still see that's Krishna's hand. Then we can actually understand that Krishna is a person, not just a story or you know, something in a book or the deities that are on the... We'll see him personally. And we'll see his hand in our whole lives. Everything that happens to us is Krishna's arrangement. So throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are devotees who go through this and we can see. You know, there's Ajamil. You know, he was a devotee when he was a young boy. You know, he was trained as a Pukka Brahmin. But then by associating, seeing nonsense going on with this prostitute and this man, then he became attracted. And then his whole life was practically ruined. But Krishna never neglected him. He then had his son named Narayan, right? Then at the time of death, Ajamil's calling out, Narayan, Narayan. It's his son that he's calling for. But Krishna is so kind that he took that as... He's calling my name. So then he immediately, the Vishnu Dutas come and they have the whole conversation with Yama Dutas. So many times in the Bhagavatam we can see devotees even falling, but Krishna being there. Because at one point they have taken up devotional service. Krishna is always there to help us. So not to say that we should, you know, let ourselves fall and think it's okay. But just that when there are slips, Krishna's there. If we just keep situated in devotional service and just keep chanting those rounds, that's the direct line to Krishna. We all have cell phones and all, and we can call anyone. We have the direct line to Krishna, and that's the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction said that in this age, we may not have a taste for chanting, but if we just keep chanting, he said it's like jaundice. We're covered in... Have you all had jaundice before? I'm sure some... No. Okay, one time in Dublin, I got jaundice, and I didn't realize that's what I had. And I made the Mangalartik sweet, so I tried one, and it tasted so awful, and I thought maybe the milk was off or something's gone wrong, and I had someone else taste it, and they said, no, it tastes good. And I thought, well, that's strange. And then a friend saw, you're looking a little yellow there. You know, you. Then I realized, oh, I had jaundice. Okay, so sugar, when you have jaundice, tastes awful. No sweetness, just bitter, yucky, awful. So Rupa Goswami saying, just like that, this holy name may taste really awful to begin with. Oh, I've got to stop and chant my japa. Oh, I'd rather be on the computer. I'd rather go out and talk to so-and-so. You know, we might be like that. It might be difficult. But he says, you just keep chanting the holy name. And the cure for this jaundice is taking sugar candy. Okay, it tastes awful. You keep eating this. And then the jaundice is gone. So Rupa Goswami said, just keep chanting this holy name over and over, every day, with a sincere heart, open ears. And then that jaundice condition will go, and we'll be able to taste the sweetness, just like you can taste the sweetness of that sugar candy. You'll be able to taste the sweetness of the holy name, because it's there. It's just that we're covered by disease. So if we just stick to this process, and when things go wrong, just take more shelter of Krishna. You know, it's Krishna's plan for us, whatever. You know, and make sure we don't offend devotees. That's a big one. That's very easy to do. And we have a tendency, like being the main actor on the stage, that we're going to offend other main actors on the stage, right? But we have to see how much these devotees, instead of seeing, oh, that one has that bad thing, or that one, you know, no, that one does so much service for Krishna. Maybe now they're doing some little wrong thing, but they've done so much for Prabhupada, for Krishna, you know, much more than I could even think of doing. So glorify the devotee in your mind rather than finding just all the faults. Then it becomes easier to see how wonderful this movement is, how wonderful these devotees are. They're gems. You know, out of millions of living entities, so few are actually turning. What does Krishna say? Out of millions of men, manushanam sahasreshu. Yeah, kaschid atati siddhanam. Yes. So out of millions, one may try for perfection. And out of those who do that, hardly one knows me in truth. So it's very difficult. Even Lord Brahma couldn't understand. You know, even the demigods get covered over not understanding who. Look at Lord Indra. You know, during the Govardhan Puja ceremony, he just immediately, What is this boy telling them to worship Govardhan Hill instead of me? Who does he think he is? You know, and that's us. We're also, what? You're not going to let me do that? Who do you think you are? I'm in charge here. You know, we think like that. We're so proud. How could they ignore me when I walk in the room? Who do they think they are? They don't realize how important I am. You know, we carry that around, thinking that we're so important. And even it can be in a more humble way, but we still have that pride. So we have to cleanse that, you know, that pride, and see it for what it is. You know, this is just my false ego. When there's some rubbing against another devotee, stop and think where you're going wrong. You know, what is my part in this? I'm I'm being proud. I'm not understanding. This is a devotee. Krishna loves this devotee. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki. Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshmananandaki. Jai Shishi Gauri Jai. If we appreciate the devotees, then we can appreciate Krishna. Then he will allow us to understand him and have a loving relationship with him. So I'll stop there if there's any corrections or anybody wants to add to or